Good day, church family. You are joining me once again in our foyer just outside of Miss Janice's office. I am so happy that you chose to pause your day today as we've basically paused our life for a little while. And joining me on your couch or in your bed or wherever you are and maybe rolled up in your favorite blankie, I am glad that you are willing to sit and listen. You know, these are different times that we're sitting in. It's not like coming into our sanctuary and just plopping down in our new chairs and just being fed that way. But you're in the comfort of your own home and the safety of your family. What an interesting time that we get to do that. This is not a normal thing for us. And I hope that you're taking advantage of that. You know, you've got some kids at home that may not really understand all that's going on, but they can understand your courage and your realistic view on everything that's going on. What a great opportunity that you have to encourage one another, to teach one another, to lead one another. Our prayer is that you're doing that, that you're taking advantage of this time and really pouring not only into your own life, but into the lives of your friend, your family, your friends, and really even your neighbors. I just think about the things that we were talking about with Upward over the last few weeks. And that's what we were driving home is how to be a good neighbor. Well, what a great time to practice that now. This is a great opportunity for us to not only love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but it's a great opportunity to love our neighbor as ourself within 6 feet. Just a joke. How about we begin with prayer and then we will get into our sermon today. God, thank you for who you are. Lord, I just want to rest in your presence for the next few moments. God, I want to present a word of encouragement, a word of truth, but I cannot do that without you. Lord, I am humbly submitting myself to you right now in front of my friends and my family, saying that I can't do this without you. Lord, none of us can do any of this without you. And God, what you offer us today is so good and so real and so pure, and I pray that we would take it for what it really is. See you for who you really are. And may we acknowledge who we really are and in our need for you. Thank you for all that you do. I submit this time to you for you to do as only you see fit. Allow this video to speak truth and encouragement and hope to the hearts of the hearers today. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles or if you have your phone and want to pull this up, you can look at Matthew chapter 11. We're going to finish Matthew chapter 11 today. And so we've been crawling through Matthew. We've been looking at all kinds of things that Jesus is doing. And it seems like he is beginning to turn the tide here. Jesus, for the first part of his ministry, has just been doing a ton of miracles, allowing people to see and experience all that he's doing. But it seems that after chapter 11, when we finish up today, that he starts going into this teaching time, which is going to be real exciting for us. But it really kind of changes a little bit. Now, he's still going to do miracles, but the tone of Matthew's recording of Jesus' life takes a little bit of a sharp turn and starts going into a teaching mode. And so let's finish up chapter 11 today. And while you're turning there, here's what I want you to think about all for the remainder of this time. Jesus' yoke, his yoke, brings true rest. Now, for many of us that are not farmers or have no idea what a yoke is, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But it's something that kind of was used in two different ways to kind of keep oxen together or cattle together as they plowed a field. But it was also used for people to be able to carry heavy loads. And so if you can think about that as we talk through this passage, it will help us understand what Jesus was really getting at, especially when we get to the end of the passage and he really does talk about how his yoke is so much better than the yoke that we are carrying. His yoke brings true rest. So let's get into Matthew chapter 11, because the reality is we all carry stuff. We all carry the baggage of sin, or we all carry the baggage and weight of providing for a family, or trying to parent, or to be the husband or wife that we're supposed to be, or maybe just the baggage of our past. There's a lot of stuff that we try to carry, and we're trying to juggle it all and trying to make it work, and it's cumbersome. It's really difficult. It's so hard. And Jesus is coming alongside us and saying, hey, I've got a better way to carry that stuff. I've got an easier way. There's things that you're still going to have to carry, but I've got a better way to doing it. That's why we can look at that phrase and say, His yoke brings true rest. So in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 20. And for right now, we're just going to read through 24 and talk about that a little bit, and then we'll kick on down from 25 through 30 and finish up for the day. So here's what it says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. He says, Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Now this rebuke is him getting after him. Like he's upset. He's a little bothered by the fact that he's done some great miracles right in front of them. I mean, he's healed people. He's cast out demons. He's raised people from the dead. And yet there's no life change. They're just there to get what they can and move on. They're getting what they want and not giving what Christ asks for. There's no life change at all. And so he says to them in verse 21, Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Wow! What a statement. So let me help you understand. So the Chorazin and Bethsaida are cities that he has been bouncing around and doing some cool stuff. And he's talking to him and he says, Listen, if I had been back in the day, back in Tyre and Sidon, or if these miracles that you had seen or have seen had been done in Tyre and Sidon, those two cities who were on their own, doing their own thing, would have absolutely changed their life for the better because of what they saw. In fact, it's going to be better for them in the day of judgment than for you because you have seen these great miracles and haven't changed. Now, there's still going to be judgment on those two cities, on Tyre and Sidon, but he's saying, listen, because they didn't know, they didn't have the advantage that you have of me being here, they're not going to pay the penalty as much. They're not going to have that recollection of what they missed like you are, and it's going to cost you a lot. Verse 23, it says, And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Again, he comes after Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is kind of where he's been doing the bulk of his ministry and the bulk of the miracles. And he says, You are exalted to heaven who will be brought down to Hades. He's not saying that, listen, you can either go to heaven or to hell. That's not really what he's talking about. But he's saying, listen, you're kind of more special than everybody because I was here. And now you're going to be brought as low as you possibly can. Why? Because I have done some amazing things in front of you and you have chosen to ignore them. You have chosen to not accept me as who I am. You have chosen to just go against all that I'm preaching and teaching. You're only here for the good stuff, and it's not going to be enough for you. And then he compares them to the city of Sodom. Now, if you remember back in the Old Testament with Sodom and Gomorrah, remember Lot, Abraham's nephew, had been living there, and God sent two angels to rescue them out. And it was just a wicked city. They were doing all the things that they just were giving themselves over to. They were pleasing the flesh constantly. And Abraham pleaded with God to save the city. And God said, No, I'm going to take it down to this many, to just enough. But there's not even that many people that can be saved. And so God destroys this city. And now he's saying to the people of Capernaum, listen, it's going to be worse for you than it was for Sodom. If Sodom had simply seen what you have seen, they would have changed. I know it. But you have seen things that they haven't seen, and you're still not changing. It's going to be worse for you than it was for Sodom. Wow. What a statement. What a thought. Now, there's some things here that I want us to see because I think it's important and really applies to our life in a big way. And when I started looking at this, I was telling our team as we were prepping over Zoom, which is kind of like Skype, I told them, I said, I don't want to just land here because this is so harsh and negative in the days we're living in. I don't want it to do that. I want it to be positive and encouraging, but we can't negate the fact that Jesus is coming down on these guys. He's saying, you have experienced some great stuff and you're missing it. And because of that, what you're going to experience later is going to be worse than what those people experienced before. So Jesus made statements, not assumptions. He says, listen, if these other cities, Tyre, Sidon, Sodom, if they had seen what you have seen, they would have changed. It is a statement. It's not an assumption. God knows the hearts of men, and he knew that if they had seen the things that Jesus had done, their hearts would have been changed. Now, granted, begs the question, why didn't he? We will never understand truly why God chooses to do the things that he does and not do the things that we think he should. But in this instance, he is using this as an example that Jesus is teaching the people, like, look, these people would have changed their hearts if they had seen what you've seen. This is how bad Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum really are. They've seen these things and they're still not changing their hearts and lives. Does that not sound so much like us? We watch God do great and amazing things. We watch him change people's lives, but still it's not enough for us to change how we live or to change the things in our own hearts to do better. Woe to us. What a warning it gives us here. I love the fact that it's statements and not assumptions, because knowledge brings responsibility. As we grow in our understanding and in our knowledge and wisdom of who God is and who we are in him, now we have the responsibility of actually doing it. We have the responsibility as we listen to sermons and as we listen to Bible studies, and hopefully as we're digging into the Word of God, as we learn things, as we gain knowledge, hopefully we are understanding that now we're responsible for it. In fact, there's a level of personal responsibility that grows as we mature. As we get older, we learn new things. Think about this. As you grow up in your job, as you move up the ladder, does your responsibility not grow? Of course it does. It's because you're maturing in your understanding of your job. As an adult, as a dad, as I continue to grow and learn and teach my children, now I'm responsible for the things that I'm teaching them. It's the same thing with our children. As they grow, as they get a little smarter, we give them more responsibility. Why would it be any different in our spiritual life? I would contend it's part of the reason why we don't dig into the scripture like we know we should. Because as we dig, we'll learn more, and now we know that we're going to be responsible for it. And we just want to be responsible for the little bit that we know. That's all we can handle. Come on. Jesus is calling us deeper. And as we're going to see, as he calls us deeper and our responsibility grows, he's actually going to provide an easier way to go about those responsibilities. And that's kind of what he's getting at with these people. I wanted to help you. I wanted to walk alongside you. I'm doing all these things for you to see that I am here for you. And yet you're still ignoring me. Wow, what a sad commentary. But here's the problem. As our responsibility grows, as our knowledge brings that responsibility about, it uncovers hidden pockets in our lives. One of the things that I didn't share with you about Tyre and Sidon is they were actually a part and kind of in the midst of the tribe of Asher. And the tribe of Asher was not able to overtake them. In fact, those two cities were just solid. They withstood lots of people. And one of those guys was like Alexander the Great. It took him a long time to overtake them. They were just solid. But they would not follow God. But they were in the middle of this tribe of Asher. I kind of took that and I worked with it a little bit. We are like the tribe of Asher. Not really, but just go with me here. And in our lives, there are little pockets of sin and pockets of irresponsibility that God is calling to us saying, you need to get rid of that. You need to get that gone. That needs to go away. It's going to hurt you in the long run. And we need to be more bold and more aggressive than the tribe of Asher was and go after those hidden pockets in our area, in our lives, and get rid of them. Well, how do we do that? What does that look like? And how is that even possible? Well, one of the things that we can do is kind of look at James 4:17 and recognize that when we know to do good and we don't do it, it's creating a new pocket within us. It's encouraging that pocket that already lives within us. But you see, here's where the responsibility, the personal responsibility comes in as we get knowledge. We know what the good that we're supposed to do. Now we're responsible for it. Now we have the knowledge which creates responsibility and we should do something with it. And when we don't, it's sin. It's that pocket that lives deep within us that kind of hides out. It's the pockets in our heads that gives us that extra baggage that we're carrying that we don't need to carry anymore. We can get rid of that stuff. God wants to rid our lives of those things. But the only way to do that is to acknowledge that it's there. It's to see it for what it really is. And I believe that is where Jesus comes in this next set of verses and helps us unpack and see what that looks like and how we can carry these burdens with Him. So let's go back to the scripture. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. Let's look at verses 25 through 30 and see what He has to say here. Now, it's kind of interesting because it seems like He's talking to whoever's there and listening. And then He changes almost into a prayer in the next two verses and then flips back out of that prayer into another conversation. It's interesting how Matthew records it, but let's read it for what it is. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Your sight. Now, if we really wanted to make an issue, we could make an issue here because it seems like God chooses who He gets to reveal it to. And maybe He does. And Jesus simply acknowledges the fact that because You're God, You have that right and that privilege. But I want you to notice something. I don't know that He's intentionally doing it. Notice who He's revealing it to and who He's not revealing it to. And let's think about why. Let's go back to verse 25. He says, You have hidden things from the wise and prudent. Now, this wise and prudent are not people who are following God, but people who think that they've got it all figured out, that have risen to this level of, you can't teach me or tell me anything new. I've already know it all. And God resists the proud. He resists those that think that they have it all figured out. And He goes after babes. Now, it's not talking about little children or babies. It's talking about people who are humble, who are lowly in their mindset when it comes to who God is, who realize their need for Him, who live in such a way that allows God to be Lord of their life. And as we do that, He reveals things to us that allows us now to be personally responsible for those things, to change our life for the better. And Jesus acknowledged, God, You know what's best. You know our hearts. You know the ones that will accept the truth and grow from it, and the ones that will be like swine and will trample over the pearls of wisdom. Pretty fair statement. Listen, we can't judge God on that because we do that all the time. We make a snap judgment all the time of people that we know who are really going to hear us, and people that are really just going to ignore us and it's going to be a waste of time. I know we do that. And so God isn't giving up on the wise and prudent, but He realizes that until they're ready, they're not going to hear anything He has to say. But those of us who are truly at that place of being humble in our spirit and in a spot of wanting to truly understand what He has to offer, that's when He will reveal those things to us. Verse 27, All things have been delivered to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Now here again, we're not quite sure if this is still a part of the prayer or if He's talking to the people, but it's an interesting statement. He says, nobody knows the Father like the Son does, and nobody knows the Son like the Father does. That's a fair statement. Do you know everything that there is to know about God? Do you know and understand everything that there is about how Jesus does things and why He does the way that He does? Or even better yet, the Spirit. How does Spirit even works in us? Nobody truly understands all that. But Jesus says, and the one, I believe that is us, to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. So us, we get to understand God as He unlocks Himself for us, as He chooses to reveal Himself for us. For instance, I know there have been times where we've sat in our sanctuary and you have had a light bulb moment because I've watched your face, or you've come told me afterwards, or you just kind of sit up a little bit different. Those are light bulb moments where the Spirit of God is revealing Himself something new about Himself, or about the Spirit, or about God. That's how this works. And so as we humble ourselves before a holy God, as we choose to try to figure out what all is going on, He begins to reveal Himself to those who are lowly in mind and heart, because they really want to know, God, what is this? How can I do better? How can I be more for You? That's the God we serve, and He wants to do that for us. It's the reason why we have this collection of books and historical documents to pull together and help us make sense of all of this. But what's scary is, once we know, now we're responsible. And let me tell you something, the weight of that responsibility is great. I want you to think about the children of Israel as they were growing up under the law. The law was to keep them from sinning. It was to tell them what to do and what not to do. Could you imagine having over those 600 laws weighing down on them, knowing that they would not be able to do it perfectly? Man, how overwhelming and frustrating that had to have been. But Jesus has something to say about that. Let's keep reading. Excuse me. He says, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." So He comes up with this farm term of yoke, but it's really not a farming term. It's actually a tool that was used by individual people. And He's saying, listen, you are carrying all of these burdens of these laws. Not only the burdens of the laws, but how to get rid of your sin and the sacrifices and how you're supposed to live and do all these things. And it's cumbersome. It's hard. It's a lot to carry. It's overwhelming. And you're tired. You're exhausted. You are at your wit's end. You don't want to do it anymore. And He says, no. Come to Me. Come to Me, and I will give you the rest that you're looking for. Wow. I can hear the stillness of His voice. I can feel the sweetness and the tenderness of His character as He yearns for the people to experience what He has to offer. Can you feel that? Can you hear Him say, I hear that you are tired. I hear that you're heavy laden with this coronavirus scare. But you don't have to carry that alone. You don't have to feel the weight of its entire load on you. You can come to Me and I can give you the rest that you're looking for. Not just physical rest, but spiritual, emotional, mental rest. I know many of you are longing for that. I know many of you are seeking for that, but you are seeking and longing for it in the wrong way and in the wrong things. Jesus says, come to Me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and Jesus, will give you the rest that you want. I want you to look at this yoke. Hopefully you can see that picture okay. This is something that normally would have been put on cattle or oxen, and it's binding. It puts them together. It doesn't allow one to lead more than the other, but it allows one to be a little stronger to train and to keep one in line with each other. And they go together. They move in succinct motion. And Jesus is saying, hey, take My yoke. I already have a yoke. I want you to come alongside Me, join up with Me, and I will train you. I will walk with you. I will lead you. I will be yoked with you to do whatever you're going through. And the cool thing is, He says, My yoke is easy. I'm going to take the brunt of the force and the load of this. I'm going to help you with it. Wow. What an offering. He doesn't just say, hey, quit doing what you're doing, and when you're done and got everything fixed, you come see me. He says, no, I want you right now. I want you in the dire strait that you're in this exhaustive mode that you are living in. I want you now because I have something to offer you. I want to give you rest. Now, here's another picture that I loaded up. And if you can see that, I promise that is not Ted Larrison. It might look like Ted Larrison, but it is not. But this is also a yoke. This is a contraption, a piece of wood that is laying on his shoulders in order to carry heavy objects. This was a normal mode of transportation in carrying heavy things. Now, when I think of yoke as well, this, I believe, probably is more so of what Jesus could have been talking about. Could you imagine trying to carry these buckets just with your hands and trying to level it out and not spill stuff, or maybe having more stuff that you could carry? This yoke allows you to tie many things along it and put it on your shoulder and distribute the weight evenly, not just in your arms, but across your back and your shoulders and your arms to be able to carry and accomplish more, even though the weight hasn't changed. You see, Jesus is saying, I know the things that you're carrying, and you're trying to juggle it and carry it all on your own. Take my yoke in the way that I suggest you should do life, in the way that I want you to do life, and it will be easier. It doesn't take away from the things that we have to carry. It doesn't change the life that we're in as far as the things that we're dragging along, but it alleviates the overwhelming weight of those things and the magnitude of what we're carrying, and it distributes it evenly. Why? Because He is the righteous way to live. His yoke makes it easy. Love that picture. So let's go back and quickly think about this. The yoke of the law. The yoke of the law was burdensome. It was difficult, and it was impossible to fully keep. I want you to think about even the laws that we have. There's a lot of them out there, and some of them we like, some of them we don't like, and some of them are hard for us. But the laws that the children of Israel were trying to live by were absolutely impossible. They just kept piling them on and adding to, and they were burdensome. They weighed them down. Could you imagine the oppression of having to live with these laws and the way that the Pharisees were carrying them out? But think about this. Matthew 23:4. Refers to the Pharisees and what they were doing to the children of Israel and the people that they were leading. For they, the Pharisees, bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. They are drumming up these things and creating these laws and these ways of doing things that were burdensome and hard and difficult, and putting them on their shoulders. He's talking about them having to carry these loads all by themselves. But then he says, but even the Pharisees, they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They're not doing any of that, but they're forcing the people to do that. That is not the God you serve. That is man doing that. The God that we serve says, hey, I know what you're already having to carry because life's just hard. But what I want to do is I want to come alongside you and help you carry that load, or make it easier for you to carry that load. If you will take my yoke upon you, it's easy, it's lighter, less burdensome. You still got to carry it, still got to work with it, but it's easier. The yoke of Jesus makes life easier to live, not according to the law, but to the spirit of the law. You got to remember, Jesus said it best. I'm going to flip forward and then come back. Here's what he says. He says, do not think. Remember, this was in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He's not coming to take away the law, but he's coming to give us a different way to live the law. The spirit of the law. Remember, we talked about, it says, do not murder. He says, but I'm not even talking about the physical murder, Jesus said. I'm really talking about having anger towards your brother in your heart. Let's change your heart. Then you don't have to worry about not murdering somebody. What about adultery? He said, it's not really the physical act that I'm worrying about. It's your heart. It's looking on a woman and lusting for her that you've already committed adultery. He said, let's fix the heart issue. Let's fix the spirit of the law by changing our hearts, which is actually more manageable and doable. It's carrying the yoke of Jesus on us that allows us to do the law the way that we should. It keeps us from murdering. It keeps us from coveting. It keeps us from cheating. It keeps us from doing all those things because we are living in the spirit of the law by changing our heart first. First. It's not about the doing. It is all about the being. It is about being who God created us to be. It's about being the Christian that we're called to be so that we can do things better. And Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. We still got to go by the law. There's still things that we're supposed to do. But what I want to do is I want to fulfill it. I want to give you a way to do it. I want to live it in such a way that you see is doable. And that's exactly what he did for us. Again, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to see a few things. Who is this for? Well, it's all who are doing it on their own and overwhelmed by the weight of their sin. Who is he talking to? He's talking to all of us. He's talking not just to non-believers, but I believe he's talking to believers as well. He's saying, look, stop doing it on your own. Stop trying to juggle all the buckets and all the ropes and trying to carry everything just with your arms. Let me give you something to help you. It's to anyone who will hear it and do it. Now you're responsible. Because now you've heard that he is wanting to help you carry this load. And now you're responsible for going to him and letting it off your shoulders so he can help you carry it. What is offered? Rest and freedom. Amen. Right? All these things and these burdens that we've been carried, all these things that continue to weigh us down and attack us, are you not ready to lay them down? Take his yoke, because his burden is light, and his how he allows us to carry it makes it easier for us to do this life. And there's rest and there's freedom from this stuff. It's easier to follow. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How much easier can we get? So everything that I do, I need to filter it through the response of, is this showing that I love God, and is it modeling a love for God? And is this loving my neighbor by how I'm treating this person? If we can float everything through those two things, we have done the essence of what God is asking us to do purely. It's easier to follow. But then lastly, it's a burden worth carrying. I want us to understand this. Nowhere in here does Jesus say that I'm just going to take them all away. He's saying, listen, you're going to carry some of these burdens. Some of you have an illness that is not going to go away. For me, I have a floppy foot that I'm dealing with. So it's something that I have to deal with that it's not going away, but it weighs on me. There are things in our life that has just happened that weigh on us that we just can't really get rid of. And so those are burdens that we have to carry. Those are things that are just going to always be there. But Jesus says, you don't have to carry the fullness of that burden. I can come alongside you and we can either join up in the yoke together, or I can provide a different type of yoke, a yoke that I'm offering that allows you to carry it easier. It lightens the load. It distributes the burden, and I want to help you carry that. That is a burden worth carrying. It is not the burden of sin, but it's the burden of honoring Christ in everything that we do. I will gladly take that burden over the burden of sin. I remember those days. I don't like those days. I don't want to go back to those days. Those days were so hard and heavy and awful. I like the days that I'm living in now. The burden of just trying to honor God and please God in every opportunity that I have. The burden of trying to love my neighbor as myself. Those burdens I can carry because he is enabling me and revealing himself to me, which creates responsibility in my life that I gladly say, yes, I will do that. Because when I don't, it is sin. And it creates another pocket that I'm going to have to work on later. I'm tired of pockets. I'm ready for them to get gone. I skip verse 29 and I want to come back to it. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's lots of stuff here. He says, take my yoke, take this burden, allow yourself to do it the way that I'm doing, and learn from me. I want to teach you. I want to help you with this stuff. I don't want you to get this on your own or all by yourself. I want to come alongside you and help you. Why? Because I am gentle and lowly in heart. I get it. I know where you're at. I know your heart. I want to come alongside you, Jesus says, and help you with this. I am not haughty. I'm not like the other kings. I came from heaven and humbled myself to be just like you so that I can model and do life with you. Why are we doing that? Right now, we need rest for our souls. Our souls are all in disarray. But our souls can find rest in Jesus. So what is offered? Here's what Jesus is offering. A gentle, followable, teaching leader who leads by example. That's a mouthful. God is offering us, Jesus is offering us a gentle, which we all want, a followable. We want somebody that we can follow, like follow the leader. A teaching leader, a gentle, followable, teaching leader. He is a leader. He's not going to lead us astray. He's not going to lead us down paths of unrighteousness, but down paths of righteousness. Why? Because his name's on the line. We are carrying his name, and he wants to teach us accordingly. Who leads by example. He humbled himself even to the point of the death on the cross. What an example of what it means to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what it looks like to love our neighbor as ourselves, which means to lay down our life for our friends. So now what? Here's the first thing. We got to acknowledge. We need to acknowledge that we've got pockets of sin in our life. We need to acknowledge that we're carrying this stuff on our own, trying to do it on our own. We need to acknowledge that we need him. That's the first step in all of this. Until you truly acknowledge that you need him, nothing's really going to change. Until you truly acknowledge that you have pockets of stuff in your life, nothing's going to change. Until you acknowledge that you're trying to manage and carry everything on your own and that you need his yoke to be able to do it, until you acknowledge that, nothing's going to be different. You're going to keep doing the same thing, repeating the same processes, getting the same results. But here's the next thing that we need to do. We need to accept it. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us grace. He offers us the new yoke. We need to accept it. We need to acknowledge that it's there and accept what he is offering us. He wants to join up with you and walk you through this process. He wants to teach you. He wants to lead you. He wants to help you. That's what he offers. And then we need to acclimate. We need to acclimate. We need to change our life. We need to allow some things to stop and allow some things to continue and allow some things to start new. We need to acknowledge this. We need to accept that it's there and that this is our new reality, and we need to acclimate to it so that we can live this life much freer and much easier. The psalmist writes this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Do you know how we can acknowledge, how we can accept, and how we can acclimate? We have to go to God and say, God, you have to search me and point out those areas, those hidden pockets in my life that I don't know what to do with, or that I've just hidden away because I don't want to be responsible for them. God, they are weighing me down. I'm trying to juggle and manage all of it. Help me with this. Know my anxieties and see where the wicked ways are in me, and then lead me. Help me to take that yoke and lead me in the direction. Let me join up in that double yoke, and you lead me because you are the strong leader here. So when I say that his yoke brings true rest, I absolutely mean it. It is still a yoke. It is still something we have to carry, but it is lighter. And because it is lighter, we can rest in his presence. I know that for many of you, you're trying to figure out what to do right now, and it is weighing on you. It is bringing an unknown amount of stress and anxiety and frustration because it's not how you want it. You don't like being told what to do. You don't like being managed by other people. But the reality is, here we are, And you can continue to fuss and you can continue to fight it and be angry about it. Or you can allow that little pocket of submission that you won't submit and turn that over to God. Allow the yoke of submission to Him and following Him and doing what He's calling us to do to be prevalent and be modeled for those around us. I know that you are stressed and I know that you are frustrated, but I am telling you this morning, right here, right now, His yoke brings true rest. You can find rest in the midst of the chaos that we are living in. May God bless you. May He continue to have His face shine upon you. And may you learn to acknowledge your need for Him and accept the fact that He wants to offer you something better. And as you accept that, as you accept His will for your life, you learn to acclimate your life so that you can live freer, happier, more joyful. God bless you. Let me pray. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being so good. Thanks for being an amazing God, because you are great. And Lord, I pray that as this video goes out, as our congregants listen to your word shared, that their heart would be challenged and encouraged, and that they would feel your love and your presence, and know that we may be separated, but through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we are still one. May the yoke that we carry not be our own, but be yours. And may the life that we lead and live may be led by you and be easier than if we were doing it on our own. We love you, we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I will see you sometime this week, hopefully live Wednesday night, and then another video announcement on either Thursday or Friday, and then we will see you next Sunday. God bless you. Stay safe.